CBS, I Am the World. I'm John Batts with Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. China's real estate meltdown is battering middle-class wealth. This is Bloomberg, Asia. Households forced to rethink money priorities as assets fall. The summary, stock investments down 30%. Salary package down 30%. Investment property down 20%. We welcome Ann Stephenson Yang to help us understand what the middle class and the upper class and the lower class can do, what is being done for them by the Beijing government because of these plunges in asset value, or as Bloomberg puts it colloquially, the Chinese dream is on hold. Ann, a very good day to you. Thank you very much for joining us. Ann is the author of the upcoming Wild Ride, China's Short-Lived Experiment in Capitalism. Short-lived. And the middle class is struggling, according to Bloomberg's summary. Does the central government have an answer? Good evening to you.
Good evening, John. Thank you for that introduction. You have to understand, property in China doesn't act the same way it acts here. Property is more akin to a 401k or an asset portfolio in China. And so 70% of Chinese wealth is deposited in property in one way or another. But the difficulty with that unlike a stock portfolio or 401k, it's not very liquid. So that's the problem.
And therefore, they're more threatened by this? This is their 401k. I don't know how I'd feel about it. Somebody said your 401k just plunged 30%. I wouldn't feel good about it, but it wouldn't threaten my day-to-day. Is that correct?
Well, I mean, the other problem is that you can't, you know, in your 401k, you can say, okay, I'll take the hit and I'll withdraw the money, but you can't do that with property. All you can do is sit there and wait and hope that property gets stabilized or goes up. So I think it's a cause of great anxiety. And yes, it's a cause of liquidity issues for an awful lot of Chinese people because they took on a bunch of mortgages. It's kind of like the housing boom in the U.S. in 2007 or so, when a whole lot of people in cities like Las Vegas were overextending themselves on mortgages because they thought they could flip the houses. And then the housing market freezes and they're all like, oh my God, I'm stuck.
Gordon, you have a question for Ann.
And in September, a former head of the Statistics Bureau in a speech in Guangdong province said that China had enough vacant apartments for 1.4 billion people. And some people think that number is higher. Given this law of supply and demand, it would seem that there is no way out for China, at least as far as property is concerned. I mean, how do you assess it?
Yeah, I mean, I feel like the political system is in one of those stranded moments, kind of like the U.S. before the Civil War. Like, do you remember the names of any of those presidents? I kind of don't. You know why? Because there was a huge decision to be made and nobody could make it. So I feel like that's where China is right now. They back off property. Everybody gets really anxious. The asset values all decline. And then they say, oops, no, please, banks, lend to property. But it's not going to solve anything.
We come
James
to,
Buchanan, by the way, is the president you're thinking of.
Yeah, true. Thank you.
We come to solutions recommended by outsiders, not necessarily the bank itself, the Chinese government itself. Beijing urging the nation's banks to boost their financing for property developers. Haven't they already done that? And as I recall, we also had a conversation where Beijing is saying, it's up to you guys. We're out of this. Are they doing both at the same time, boosting and walking away?
Well, the up to you, we're out of this was mostly toward local governments and the local government financing platforms. The urging of Beijing banks, of banks in China to lend money to property is a 180-degree about face on Xi Jinping's core policy, which is that property is supposed to be for living in, not for investing. But as I say, they're just out of ideas.
The other idea is an unsecured short-term loan. Boy, does that sound dangerous. Is that happening now?
I mean, they're urging it to happen, but the problem is you have to change the incentives at the banks, because right now, if you're a bank loan officer and your loans go bust and they don't earn money, then you lose you lose a chunk of your salary, you lose your commission, and you may lose your job. So you're just not going to do that no matter what the government tells you.
I take it that they don't have bank regulators in the way that It's a Wonderful Life bank regulators show up to enforce the law. That doesn't happen in China. Is that correct, Anne?
Well, I mean, the problem is the differing bank incentives. So they have a lot of rules that come out of the bank regulators, but the bank officials, essentially, their job is to protect assets, not to make money. So that's really what they do.
Gordon, you have a question.
So if the banks aren't going to lend long term, what will the central government do with the property sector?
Well, I don't think there's any saving the property sector. I think that Beijing needs to pivot, and they have made half-hearted attempts to do that. I think really the only thing left in the playbook realistically is for them to clamp down on protest and malcontents as much as possible, unfortunately, if the party is to remain in charge.
There is no remedy then back to the middle class, as opposed to the big developers or those people who are well-to-do. The middle class is just told that that's the way it is, that this is going to take longer. We were overly optimistic, and so don't panic, don't try to sell, hang in there. Is that what they're telling them?
Well, I think that the messaging will be a little bit different, but essentially that's what's going on, because what China could do in order to save its economy would be to pivot completely and make it into a consumption economy instead of an investment-driven economy. But that's just not what they're going to do.
It is true that there is a wealth effect and there's the opposite, a poverty effect. Is that underway? Would that explain the disappointing consumer numbers out of China, that with the losses in their 401ks, they're cautious?
I think people are cautious. I think they're also feeling burned from the COVID years, because in other countries, people got subsidies for staying at home, but in China, they didn't. And so they feel like they thought that coming out of lockdown, there would be an explosion of jobs and growth, and there just wasn't. And so I think people feel very cautious and uncertain about the future.
Gordon, you have a question. We have a minute.
Bloomberg says that Beijing is going to put money in factories, presumably to export more. Is that a solution?
The problem is they already have excess capacity in manufacturing and in exporting. So, you can see prices of exports going down a lot, but that isn't a solution for the Chinese economy.
Yeah, there's that word deflation. Is that a way to describe the property sector right now? It's deflating. It's consolidating at lower levels.
Yeah, you're seeing some deflation across the economy. I think it's going to get worse.
Anne Stephenson Yang is the author of Wild Ride, the upcoming book about the short-lived Chinese miracle, or as Bloomberg puts it, the Chinese dream is on hold. Gordon Chang at Gordon G. Chang. I'm John Batch.
You're listening to CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.